One of my favorite things to do is to look at my vision board and to see all the things, those images that represent my dreams that have become a reality. It's one of the greatest feelings to know that you're intentional with your life, that you are someone who designs your life and your dreams become reality. Vision boards are one of my favorite tools to help you be an intentional designer of your life. And I want to teach everybody how to do it from an intentional place, how to create this vision and how to really feel proud of yourself for the life that you designed and excited for what's to come. Hey, you're listening to episode 14 of the Intentional Mind Podcast, and I'm your host, Angela Barnard. This is a show all about helping you intentionally design your life using the power of your mind, faith, and energy. And on this episode, we're talking about one of my favorite topics, visioning and using vision boards. So this whole recording that I'm about to share with you is from a course that I taught on creating an ideal vision for your life. And I usually teach it in multiple parts and sections. So I'm not someone that's like, all right, let's get together. Let's find magazines, start cutting things out. We paste them on there. All right, cool. No, I'm very strategic about the process. And I like you to really think about the kinds of goals that you want to have for your life before you start cutting things out and putting them on a board. So this is the first part of my process, and we really dive into understanding why we even want to create a vision board in the first place and doing some evaluation of where we are right now and starting to imagine like where we want to be and start to get some ideas for the kinds of goals we want to have. So this episode is about that. It's the beginning stages before we actually create a vision board. This episode is from a recording of a course that I taught on creating an ideal vision. And all of the documents that I mention that you want to use for evaluation, for brainstorming your goals, all of that stuff, you can find it in the details section of this episode. So if you just click in the details, you will see the link that you need to download those documents so that you can do this and prep yourself for creating that vision board. I really want to encourage you to do the prep work before you actually start doing it. I know it's fun to create a vision board. It's really exciting, but you really want to be intentional about it. Okay, so we're going to go over what gets in the way of you actually creating a vision board, why you should create a vision board. We're looking at three different perspectives, and then evaluating where you are now so that you can intentionally decide where you want to be in the future. And I'll walk you through or guide you through a visualization to help you kind of brainstorm some of your goals. And then your homework will be for you to actually brainstorm more of your goals, to write them down. And then in the episode to follow, I'm going to teach you how to take the goals that you've brainstormed and turn them into identity-based goals that align up with how your mind works. And then we'll talk about finding the right images for your board and some other tips and some other more wisdom on your mind and how to actually really turn your dreams into reality. After that second episode, you're all set to create that board and to be more intentional with this next year. It's going to be awesome. So let's start with part one. Here we go. What gets in the way of people dreaming and visioning in the first place? Number one thing, obviously, is self-doubt. But most importantly, the how of it. And watch this. When we start to go through our guided visualization or you start to think about your goals, the how will show up. Like you will ask yourself, I don't know how that could happen. Like you'll hear a voice that says that. I want you to know that that is totally normal. That is your brain doing what your brain does, which is trying to keep you safe and trying to keep you running the current programs that you are running because it knows what happens with the stuff that you're doing. Anything out of the comfort zone, that seems very scary to the brain that's wired for survival. So it'll be like, well, how could that happen? And because you don't know the answers, it'll stop you from moving forward. So don't let it. The how is not all up to you. It never has been. It never will be. There is a greater force that helps you create things. Your job is to make your desires known. I feel like we are called to make our desires known, and we're called to have faith And faith requires us to let go of the how of it, to trust in the greater power, which is what I call God. The world's greatest thinkers and creators spend time visualizing what it is that they want. And some of the world's best athletes do the same. They see the power in visualization. So just allow. And more stuff that holds us back, ultimately self-doubt. We know that. The stories. I like to say the crappy stories that we make up. Things like it could happen for them, but not for me. I've tried this before. It doesn't work. I've tried everything to lose weight. It just doesn't really work for me. I've heard that a lot. I've heard that they don't have the time. People that are just really attached to their excuses. And I want you to notice that if that shows up for you and just let go of that attachment. You know, the I'm too whatever stories. I'm too old. I'm too whatever. I hear all kinds of things. And the yeah, but. Like, yeah, I could do that, but I don't know how this could work out, blah, 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 all that stuff. We're choosing to let that go. It shows up for all of us. So we're noticing it and then letting it go. So let's switch from doubt to curiosity. Like, wouldn't it be cool if this could happen? I wonder how that could work. Instead of saying, you know, I don't know how that could work. I wonder how it could work. So I have been able to create a lot of things in my life by simply using the words, wouldn't it be cool if? I could have so many stories for you guys. Just a real quick story. I remember when I lived in Beaufort, South Carolina, the airport that was closest to us was Savannah, Georgia Airport. And I would always want to fly to see my family in Grand Rapids, Michigan. These are two small airports, Grand Rapids and Savannah. And I remember saying, wouldn't it be so cool if there was like a direct flight from Savannah to Grand Rapids and it was super cheap, like Allegiant style cheap, and I could easily go see my family for the weekend. And I remember this guy saying like, yeah, that's never going to happen because it's two small airports. It wouldn't be cheap anyways. You find a small, blah, 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 all the stories. And I was just like, but wouldn't it be cool if it did happen, you know? And shortly after, I flew. They Allegiant had opened up airlines, or routes from Savannah to Grand Rapids. And I think my round trip was like, I don't even know, under $50. So, and there's so much stuff, even with my current job situation, someone's like, yeah, that can't happen because of this and blah, blah, blah. It's happening. Like there's so many things. So say that more. Wouldn't it be cool if? And then there's no attachment to it. All right. And the last thing that can really get in our way of visualizing or dreaming is this kind of server mentality, this kind of server identity. A lot of women, and men too, but women tend to develop this mentality of always being focused on everybody else because they serve in roles of being a caregiver, a mom, a wife, all of that. They've gotten really good at thinking about everybody else. And remember, what you practice over and over, you program. So it ends up becoming part of their identity that I am someone who is always concerned about everybody else. And obviously, that can be a good thing at times, but you can see where you can tend to neglect yourself if done so much. And you know what I mean. You guys get what I'm saying. So anyways, these kinds of exercises where we're visualizing or making goals for ourselves, this can be really hard for someone that is not used to thinking about themselves. So just notice if that shows up for you and know that that's okay. It's okay if it's uncomfortable. Maybe you need a little more time to think of your goals and stuff like that, which you will get the time based on how I'm setting up this course for you. All right, so why should you create a vision board? There's three perspectives that I love to teach around that really argue the case for creating a vision board. So the first perspective is through brain science, just simply how your brain works. The second perspective is what I call the energetic perspective that looks at quantum physics. And the last is the biblical perspective. All right, so your brain. Your brain has a part of it called the reticular activating system. And if you listen to anything about the mind, you often hear people talk about the reticular activating system. And I like to describe it as basically a filter, the part of your brain that really helps you not shut down because it filters information out. Because there's so much stimuli coming in from the things that we see in our environment, the sounds, all the things. The reason you can listen to my voice now is because your reticular activating system is filtering information out. Now, if you don't tell your reticular activating system what to bring in, then it filters things out that you might want to come in. So when you're using your vision board, you are basically telling that reticular activating system, I want you to find these opportunities and bring them in. I don't want you to filter these things out. I like to also think about it as an executive assistant. So if you think that you're the CEO, like your higher awareness self, you're the CEO and you have an executive assistant that you can say, hey, I want you to only accept phone calls from these people. If someone calls about these things, I don't want to hear it. Direct them to a voicemail. Tell them I don't want to meet with them. You know, whatever you do in your CEO ways, right? To manage your time wisely, to stay focused on the things that matter most to you. So you're creating the vision board. Is just like you telling your executive assistant to look for these opportunities for me so it doesn't get filtered out. So the quote, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else, right? In other words, if you don't tell your reticular activating system what to bring in, it's not gonna bring that in. So an example of where you've done this and you're always doing it is the common example is when someone's going to go shop for a new car and all of a sudden they see that same car everywhere. They're like, gosh, I didn't know there was so many Toyota Tacomas everywhere until I started looking for one and wanting one in the exact color, the sand color that I want. That's just the one that I want. So anyways, I start to see them all over the place because now my reticular activating system isn't filtering that information out. It's bringing it in. Now, some would argue a different thing is happening, more related to the energetic perspective, which we're going to talk about in a bit. So the goal here is to tell your brain what to focus on. The vision board does that, keeps it in front of your eyes. It's telling your brain to keep bringing this information in. All right. So the energetic perspective. Energy is contagious, hands down. We all know that to be true. We know what it's like to be around someone who is really draining. We get that. We also know what it's like to be around people that are really positive and that just you being around them can shift your energy so easily. And we have leaders like that that are listening right now that are those kinds of people. All right, so everything is energy. This is science. Every single thing is vibrating at a certain frequency. Albert Einstein said, everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy. This is physics. This is just how the world works. So I want you to think about a radio. You turn to a certain frequency, right, to bring the sound in from that station. And if you're off just a little bit, what happens? Static. You have to be on the right frequency. So another argument for creating a vision board or having a vision is it allows you to turn to the frequency of the things that you desire. Now, I told you that story earlier where we did the icebreaker, right? And the rule for people was they had to act as if it was happening now. So based on the energetic perspective, them acting like it's happening now, the feelings that are produced with them visioning in their mind, acting like it's happening now, are sending out the frequencies that are a match to what they want to happen. It's like turning to that station because our thoughts have energy attached to it too. Everything's vibrating at a certain frequency. So that's the energetic perspective of why we want to create a vision board. It allows us to vision to imagine what it would be like. The brain doesn't know the difference between what is real and what's not. Studies show this. I was just listening to a study about how they had a group of people, they hooked them, their brains up to all the wires, and they were checking to see brain activity when a dog walked into the room and how the brain, areas of the brain would light up with that dog. And then they ended up having them imagine a dog walking in to see what the difference was between actually dogs walking in and them imagining it. And there wasn't any difference. The same areas of the brains lit up. And that has to do with like frequency, what's happening there. So when we're visioning what it is that we want, even though it's not real yet, it's turning to that same station. The brain doesn't know the difference. And what's also happening is here is that your brain will have less resistance to the things that you want to create because it'll be like, I know this. This is a part of me. This is part of my identity. Your brain is very much identity based. We're going to talk about that more in our next class. All right. The last perspective is the biblical perspective. I love to teach around this. We know that if you're familiar with the Bible, there's so many quotes in the Bible about visioning and the power of your words, your thoughts, all the things. So most popular, where there is no vision, the people perish. So that's Proverbs 29:18. One of my favorites is, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. This is Mark 11:24. This relates back to the energetic perspective. Like I just said, you're believing as if it's already yours. That same feeling is being produced. Then it will be yours. You can see a connection between all these different perspectives. I think it's really interesting. So another favorite of mine is, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. So what is that? The evidence of things not seen is basically when you're visioning, like, and you have that vision in your mind or on your board, that is the evidence of things not seen. That is you practicing faith. You're hoping for something. The vision board allows you to hope for something. All right. And my last favorite quote is Habakkuk 2:2-3. It said, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that the one who reads it may run. For the vision awaits its appointed time. Although it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come. So Habakkuk, a prophet that was like, okay, things are not working out the way that I would want. Help, God. Tell me what to do. And then the answer was, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that the one who reads it may run. For the vision awaits its appointed time. Although it tarries, wait for it. It'll surely come. Now, basically, it's like, hey, if you want things to happen, you need to write the vision down. You need to make it plain so that when people see it, they will take action. They will move forward. And then basically trust that, you know, the vision awaits its appointed time. It might take a while, but just wait for it. It's coming. So I love that because it's just such a good thing to think about, like, trust the process. But you need to write a vision, but trust the process. Trust that God is working for you. All right, the next stuff I'm going to talk about requires you to have the documents downloaded so you can follow along. Now, I understand that people listen to this podcast when you're driving, when you're exercising, all the things. So you may not be able to have that right now, but at least make a mental note of that you're committed to this process, that you want to be intentional with your life, that you're going to create a vision board, you're going to be clear about your goals, you know, all the things. It requires you to take some time to do this work. Now, if you're able to do it now, then I want you to pull out the documents, specifically the Wheel of Life. You get these documents by clicking on the details section of the podcast, and there will be a link there. That link will add you to my email list, and then you'll need to confirm. So you'll want to check all the different folders that might be hidden in to confirm, and then you can download these documents. So you're pulling out the Wheel of Life document, and there's basically, it looks like a pie, and then there's 8 different pieces of the pie. And all of the pieces of the pie represent categories of your life. I love to create vision boards that really consider your life as a whole, because I think all of it is connected. I believe that if you do not like your work and you tend to hate that, you will bring that energy home with you, and it affects other things like your health, your family, all the things. Like, everything is connected and vice versa. The way you're showing up health-wise is going to affect how you are in relationships, how you're showing up in work. You guys all get this. So this is why I like to really think about your life as a whole. So this wheel allows you to evaluate your personal satisfaction level in each area of your life. It's such a great tool because you can use it later to see how far you've come. And there's no judgment here. Like, Just put down what is true for you. You don't even have to share this with anyone if you don't want to. Now, how it works is with each piece of pie, you're going to rate on a scale of 1 to 10 your personal satisfaction level. So 10 being you're really satisfied with that area of your life and 1 you're not. Now, I want you to make all of these definitions your personal definitions, because a lot of times people will be like, Ange, what do you mean by personal development? What do you mean by family? Is this considered family? And I always say, like, whatever definition you have for it. Now, so for me, an example would be personal development. I like to think about that as me growing. So I have like a lot of reading goals related to that, courses I want to take, stuff like that. That's what I think about it. But you can think about it in any way that you want. Family. So for me, I like to rate this based on my immediate family. So I think of my husband, Ian, our cats, like who I see every day in my household. Some people like to think about it as their family as a whole. So it's totally up to you. Another thing is maybe you do feel really satisfied in an area of your life, but somebody from the outside would be like, no, like you need more than that. You shouldn't, you're not satisfied in that. Like, no, this is your wheel. This is your life and it's based on your satisfaction. So an example would be under finances. If you're someone who has an extra few hundred dollars a month and you are really satisfied with that, you're fine with that. And there's a million gazillionaire who is not satisfied with their current income level. They may rate their satisfaction level way lower than yours. So you see that there? So sometimes people have areas where they're like, you know, for relationships, I remember I was coaching this girl and she was like, I don't really want to be in a relationship. I don't even want to focus on the area of my life. So what should I rate that as? And I was like, well, if you feel satisfied with it, then put it as a 10. She's like, even if I feel like I'm not actually in a relationship with someone. And I was like, yeah, if that's this based on satisfaction level. So hopefully that was a good explanation of how to kind of view this wheel. So you'll go through, you'll rate your personal satisfaction level. Take some time to do that. Then when you are done, you're going to connect all of the of your numbers. It'll end up being some kind of wonky looking circle. And I just want you to analyze that and kind of see how your wheel is rolling in your life. Are you skewed more to one side? And that might show you that you're focusing more on those areas and neglecting other areas. It's just a way that you can see where like, oh, I can see where I'm really dissatisfied in the area, but maybe that area maybe generating a lot of catabolic energy for you. So if you look and you see the lowest areas, that's really what I want you to see. And I really just want you to make sure that when you're setting your goals, that you're considering those areas, because if they're generating a lot of catabolic energy, remember catabolic energy is destructive, that can really bring you down and really prevent you from moving forward on your other goals. Because sometimes people like to avoid the things that are uncomfortable and they focus on the things that feel good to them. And sometimes that's just not serving you because it's still energy. It's still there being generated. So just take note, what are the lowest areas? And then after you're done with evaluating your whole wheel, I want you to grab the feelings sheet. So there's another sheet. I'm looking at all my sheets right now. Hold up. There's one called the feelings guide. And there's a bunch of feelings there because a lot of times people have a hard time putting into words feelings. So we gave you a bunch of words. So I want you to, right next to each wheel or each piece of pie, to write down how you feel right now and how you want to feel. So there's two feelings that you're going to write down. So for example, for me, for my career, I might write down that I feel, unfulfilled. Let's just say I'm going to put that down. And then I might write that I want to feel excited about my career. So those are two words I might put there. Now, after you do this with every piece of pie or piece of the pie, you will then ask yourself, what would it take for you to move up just 2 points in satisfaction? So let's say that for my career, I'm at a 6 in satisfaction and I want to move up to an 8. Like just pick moving up to an 8. what would that take for me to be at that satisfaction level? And then right off the top of my mind, I might think, for me to finish my visioning course, to offer it online to more people, that's what it would take. So I might write off to the side, vision course. So I want you to go through and do that for every piece of the pie. Just think of something right off the top of your mind and just jot a little note down. This is going to help you start to come up with your goals. So spirituality, I'll give you another example. I might say that I'm at an 8 there. What would it take for me to be at a 10? I might be like, you know, if I actually spent more time, quiet time with God, quiet time with my thoughts. So I might write down meditation time. So then it reminds me later that I want to have a goal related to that. This is really going to help you out. Do you see how we're being super strategic about this? It can be really hard for people to come up with goals. This is going to help you. So you'll go through, you'll do all of that. All right, and now I'm going to walk you through, guide you through a visualization just to get your mind to start to have some more images, things popping up. We're priming here the brain. It's going to be super quick. It's going to be enough for you to see maybe like an image and then move on. So know that that's very intentional. All right. Now, if you can, what you're going to do is get yourself into a position where you're really comfortable. So whether you're sitting up or laying down. And I know that people that are listening right now, you might not be able to do this right now. Remember, taking mental note, you're going to do this later. Okay, so I want you to settle down. Just sit, lay down, whatever, get comfy. And then I'm going to have you close your eyes. And we're going to just get grounded before we go through this visualization. So imagine a tingly sensation starting at the top of your head. Right? And this tingly sensation is going to move down through your face. And then through your neck, tingling into your shoulders, back through your collarbones, and then down to your chest, feeling tingling there, imagining it moving to your arms, your forearms, your wrists, and your hands, all of that tingling sensation. And it comes back up through to your shoulders, back through your chest, and then lower down, tingling in the belly area. And then moving down to your lower belly area, feel a little tingling sensation. Visualize that. And then tingling into the hips, and then down through the thighs, tingling in the knees. The shins, the calves tingle, and down through your ankle, and then your feet, and then all the way out. And then just imagining white light, a bunch of light, yellow, white, coming up, surrounding you. All right. And keeping those eyes closed. I want you to imagine that it's 1 year from now. And this past year has been one of the best years of your life. You're about to meet with a friend who you haven't seen in a whole year. And you're going to catch up on life. Vision in your mind who you are meeting with. See their face. Decide where you're going to meet them. All right. And now imagine yourself walking into that place to meet your friend. And you sit down and you're just sitting there, you're waiting for them to arrive. You think about just how amazing this past year has been and what you want to tell your friend. You think about how your environment has changed. What's changed? You think about your health. How do you feel? What do you look like? What do you do now that you couldn't do before? You think about your close relationships and just how much better they are. How much fun you have with the people that you love. What have you been able to do together? Now you think about your friends. What are they like? How do you have fun with them? Where have you traveled this past year? What about your career? What's happening? What kind of difference are you making? What passion projects have you been working on? All right, now keeping your eyes closed, we'll take a deep breath in, hold, and exhale. And one more time, deep breath in, holding. And exhale. And then go ahead and open your eyes. All right, so hopefully that exercise was enough for you to start to get some images here and there pop in the mind to start to prime yourself for your goals. Okay, the next thing we're doing is visualizing on paper. So you want to take out a piece of paper or a journal, and you're going to write a journal entry. Give yourself at least 10 minutes. Some people don't even take that long. Some people take a lot longer. It's up to you. But at least give yourself 10 minutes. So you're going to write about what has happened in your life in this past year. So it's a year from now. So all the amazing things that have happened in this year that has been one of the best years of your life. So at the top of your journal, you're going to date it 1 year from now, whatever that date is, put that down. And then you'll start off by writing, this year has been one of the best years of my life. And then write whatever comes to mind. You're just telling us what has been happening. It can be really helpful to refer back to your wheel and look at each area of your life and kind of start with like what's happening in personal development, your family, all of that stuff kind of keeps you on track. Otherwise, some questions that I like to write down so people can see is simply what has happened. Start answering that. Answering how do you feel? What's your environment like? What is your health like? What's your relationships? What's your career like? How are you having fun? Where have you been? There's some stuff there. So just start writing. Don't complicate it. Just like you're telling us a story. It's been one of the best years of your life. What the heck has been happening? So take some time to do that. Right, so now it's time for your homework. Or you can do this right now if you're on a roll. It's up to you. But what you're going to do is grab the sheet that says brainstorm goals. So I'll read off what it says to you. It says set specific and measurable goals focused on who you want to be. So what you're going to do is look at your wheel. You're going to think about what would need to happen if each area of your life went up just 2 points in satisfaction. Now, we already did this. We started brainstorming this, so it should be pretty easy, but I want you to go back to that. And then you're going to write down what would need to happen and how you would feel if that did happen under the appropriate categories. So all of the categories are listed. And you remember you have your guide to look at to see what words you want to use for how you want to feel, or add any other words that feel right to you. So I'll go back to an example again. So let's say I have on family, let's say my satisfaction level is at a 7 and I want it to be at a 9. So I was like, okay, what would need to happen for it to be at a 9? I might think that you can even ask yourself, like, how do I want to feel? I might say I want to feel connected to my family. And then what would need to happen for me to feel that way? And I might say that I had regular meetings with my family, maybe like a special like Zoom call that we do since I live in a different state, like once a month where we update each other and we have like a little Zoom party and we show each other our favorite things. That could be really fun. And I would write that down. I'm just brainstorming. It doesn't need to be all fancy. I'm just writing down Zoom party, all of that and what I just said. Just taking notes because we're going to get more detailed with this. So don't worry about it being perfect. Don't do that. Progress over perfection. Don't complicate stuff. It doesn't need to be complicated. I'm saying this because I need to say it to myself because I always complicate things. All right, stay tuned for the follow-up to this episode. It's part 2 of the course. And I just want to let you know, this stuff, this is such a blessing. I wish somebody would have taught me this. It's so fun to be intentional with my goals. And yeah, I'm just so excited and honored to teach you this. I hope you enjoy. If you did, please let me know. Reach out to me. If you haven't left a review, go ahead and do that. Thank you again for all of those who have. That means so much. Thank you for just being here. I appreciate you so much. I hope you have an awesome week, and I will talk to you soon.